Jesus' name, God, you said that by your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, right now I thank you for healing that is flowing through the bodies of your kids. God, it is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you that, God, in every area of our life where we want to fight, God, I ask right now that you would cause us to hold our peace right now in Jesus' name. I speak to every situation that could be going on in the lives of your kids. And, Lord, I thank you right now that you're helping people all over the place. Lord, you're walking down every single aisle right now, Lord, and you're ministering that peace that passes all understanding. God, I speak to anxiety in here right now, and I bind it up, and I lose peace. Lord, I speak to depression. Lord, and I ask that you'd replace it with gladness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that your word, God, is already blessed. I won't ask you to bless it, but God, I ask that you would open up every person's understanding right now. Lord, I ask that you'd let the word fall on good ground. God, let us live out the sermon today, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad to be here in service with you this morning. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving? How many of you thought about my message about family during your Thanksgiving? Guess what? We're gonna talk more about family. Out of all of the 6 years that I have pastored, that was probably one of the top ones that people said, we wish you would preach about that more. And I'm going to, because I have studied people for a long time. My family's been in ministry since 1987. I was 2 at that time, so I'm 40. That's about 38 years of being in ministry with people. Those of you that are curious, people get very curious about the pastor. I'm 40. That I used to think that was old. Now I'm thinking that's actually pretty young. And no, I can't sing like Casey. So, anyhow, so much of the family dynamic has the ability to control how we feel, how we act, our mood, all of it. Your family is the people that you'll fight with and the people that you'll fight over. And because of that, when it involves your family, it cuts you very close to the heart, and it gets us very emotional, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. But I want to minister to you this morning just to go deeper with the family. I'm not somebody that I'm going to sit up here and give you a bunch of theology about the Bible. That's not the kind of pastor that I am. I like to talk about relevant things that people are dealing with in their everyday life, because I don't, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, it's not going to help me in this moment, you know, to know the theology of it, Cece, if I'm having trouble not biting somebody's head off. There's just certain things that we need to know. I love when people can preach about the theology and all the history of everything, but what I'm very interested in is, how does God want us to live every single day? How do we live in a world that is so, I'm okay, you're okay? How do we live in a very contaminated environment that is this world? God has a very lined out, detailed way that we're supposed to live, and that also applies to our families. I am not going to stand up here and act like I'm above everybody. Me and my family, we get into it also. Do we not? We do. We definitely do. And so don't ever think, well, pastor's preaching about this because she's perfect. No, I'm preaching about it because we have the same problems. I said we have the same problems. Amen. We're all just people here. And when you can understand that, you can realize that, you know what, it's okay to just be. To be. That doesn't mean be lazy, but that means be you. And if you're going to compete with somebody, let it be the last version of you. You be better, but don't compare yourself to anybody else. God made you. He called you his own. He knew you before he formed you. He set you apart. He chose you. All of those things. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 38. There has been family conflict and dysfunction literally since Adam and Eve. We don't get very far until the dysfunction starts, okay? I believe that every family has an amount of dysfunction. How many of you will agree with that? How many of you can agree, my family is dysfunctional? I know y'all, and I know you all come from good families. Every family has an amount of dysfunction. And when we look on Facebook and we see these perfect pictures of these perfect families, and then we feel like something's wrong with us because we're not that perfect, you need to cut yourself some slack because neither are they. Amen? They probably had to have a good marital argument and just swear at their kids and everything else just to get them to smile for 30 seconds. We've all been there. And if you haven't, you don't have children yet. You just wait. We just stopped having family pictures. We just stopped that. My dad said, every family picture of us, it just gets weirder and weirder every year. There's people coming into the family. There's people leaving the family. There, all of the things. And I said, you know what? We just need to quit taking them pictures. I think that's jinxing us. But it's been there since the beginning of time. When you think about Adam and Eve, the very first part of the dysfunction that I see is when Adam decided to blame on his wife that he ate the fruit because of her. I believe that's when dysfunction came into humanity. But there's dysfunction in every single family. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 38. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, I'm going to stop right there. How many of you, when you went to Thanksgiving dinner this year, you went into a home or you had it in your home, but a home was involved? Okay. Whenever a home is involved, whoever owns that house or is responsible for that house, they're going to be extra stressed than everybody else because they're going to feel responsible for if everybody has a good time, if everybody had something there that they like to eat, is everybody going to get along? The answer's no. All of those things. We see so much of reality even from this account all those years ago. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. People say, well, the Bible is irrelevant. It may have been relevant in that day. No, the Bible is extremely relevant and precise. And it says here, Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. What does this tell us? She had a lot of stuff to do. When you got a lot of stuff to do, what's going to happen is you're going to have a temptation to get edgy, anxious, irritable, stressed. How many of you felt stress at some part in your Thanksgiving? Those of you with your hands down, it's probably because you didn't have to prepare the meal. Somebody else did. Right? She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Now, there's a lot to unpack right there. One thing I know about sisters, they're going to always be catty and petty. How many of you got a sister? Y'all are going to be a hard congregation this morning, but I'm up to the challenge. Well, I got three of them. And let me just tell you, we have had some knockdown dragouts. We have had some crying sessions. We have had trips that mom and daddy don't have no idea nothing about. We've done everything under the sun. And one of the things that we've done with each other is just be downright ugly to each other at times. Unfortunately, our best selves are hardly ever reserved for our family. And it shouldn't be that way. And we're that way because we are comfortable with them. And in the comfortability is a big black hole for us to do damage to our family because we're so comfortable with them. Sometimes we just say things that we shouldn't say or do things that we shouldn't do that we can never unsay or take back. And we do it because we're comfortable with our family. Now, every family, here's Martha, and she's saying, Jesus, don't you care that my sister's being lazy? And here's what I will tell you. I believe that every family has the lazy one. Every family has an irresponsible one. Every family has one that they feel like the parents do more for them than they've done all. You know, 38 years I have heard it all. Well, my mom and dad, they just do more for that one than they do for any of us. Well, guess what? If they had to do for everybody the way, they wouldn't be able to do nothing for nobody. Yeah, everybody has that person in the family that they have to do more for. You know why? Here's what I used to wonder about that too, and then I had two little blessings of my own, and here's what I can tell you is no two kids are alike. And you have to do different things for the different types of children that you have. And if you're somebody and you're sitting in the audience and you're saying, yeah, my mom and dad, they always did more for that one, and you're bitter at that family member because they always did more, you need to get over it. And you need to go on with your life. Because that irritation and that bitterness is not going to serve you well. Amen? Every family has these folks. Wouldn't it be funny if you got the family together and all of the people's names were written down and you said, label this person. Which one in the family are they? What would people say about you? Who would you be in the family? Who would you be in the family? I just ask you that because I want you to think about that. Who would you be in the family? And here's the thing about families. One day, you will wish to God they were at that table. Why do I say that? Because you know how many broken people that I talk to on a regular basis, and they say, if I just had one more day, if I could just call them one more time. There isn't anybody on the planet that I get more madder at than my family. There also isn't anybody I'd probably bury a dead body for than my family either. There's got to be a balance because some of us, the devil's working in a big, big way to cause division and separation, and you don't need that in your family. The devil will dictate your feelings. He'll get you going. And here's the deal. I'm not saying that your thoughts and your feelings aren't accurate. They probably are. And sometimes you have to decide, do I want to have a feeling or do I want to have a family? Because sometimes you can't have both. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus says something very profound to her. He says, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. What is Jesus saying here? You're griping about your sister, but really the truth is you're upset about things that don't even have anything to do with your sister. And how many times does your family get the brunt of whatever you're feeling on the inside that you're not even communicating with them about that you're feeling. How many of you have ever been upset about something? You've taken it out on your family, and then they've gone to bed thinking something was wrong with them, and really nothing was wrong with them. It was just you. There was something going on with you. That's why he pointed out, you're upset about many things. Many things. Can I be real honest with you? I've built my ministry on the honest factor. And people either like it or they don't, but they at least know what they're going to get when they come. After Thanksgiving, Cece, when I got alone with myself, I literally thought, when did I get so nutty? And I think I need a shrink to help me sort out all of the feelings that I feel. How many of you, when everybody gets together, there's some emotion there. There's a lot of feelings. And there's times where if you're not careful, the devil, when you're sitting around Thanksgiving, what he wants you to do instead of enjoy those people is he wants to get you to where you're thinking about all the things that they did that has ticked you off your whole life. That's why you forgive and you forget. That's right, Bobby. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. And we do this all the time. We try to fill up a place where literally only God could get us in sync with. And we try to fill that place up with everything else. And then when that doesn't work, we're edgy and we're rude. And most of the time, we're edgy and rude to our own family. My poor mom and dad, they came in. Mama had her mashed potatoes and gravy, which is my favorite thing. And I was just moody on Thursday, okay? Moody. Frank's going Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And we cooked the meal for the community, and I loved every moment of that. Loved every moment of it. We got around, and I said, okay, we're going to eat at 12 o'clock. Now, Moni, in my head, now y'all listen, because when it comes to your family, you all have something in your head that you think that it's going to be a certain way. And when they don't please you and when they don't do it your way, you're going to get ticked at them, and you need to stop that. In my head, when I said we're going to eat at 12 o'clock, I'm envisioning the fork in my mouth at 12. It didn't happen. And I opened that door for the frustration to just roll in one by one. And I thought, I'm showing all of them. They ain't here before 12. I said we're eating at 12. I've been up since 4:30. Well, that ain't their problem. I said, we're eating at 12 o'clock. Y'all get all this saran wrap off, get all the foil off, get spoons in these dishes. Let's go. was awful. And Dad goes, I think the gravy needs to be a little bit warmer. And I said, I have been up since 4:30, and I was about to give him some more of it. And he goes, he just surrendered right there. Okay. And guess what? We all sat down. And Betty, my mother-in-law, goes, I think my plate needs to be microwaved. I said, give me your plate, Betty. We're microwaving this plate. I don't know what aggravated you this holiday. I don't know what went on with you. I know God's got me preaching this. The only way I can preach it is using my own family, and they all know, we all know how each other is. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to look at verse 28. You know, sometimes people dread the holidays because there's a lot of personality under one roof. If you're the peacemaker, that's a very overwhelming job for you. Other people dread the holidays because they, instead of forgiving somebody, they've let it fester. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What does that mean? If you don't have control over your own self, you're like a city with broken walls. Your role and who you are in your family, that is your job to manage. You have to manage that. You're responsible. And we live in a society where everybody wants to blame everything on everybody but their self, when really most of the time they're to blame. Well, I can't control this, or I can't control that. I can't control who I fall in love with. I can't control what I said. No, you can control it. You can control what you said. You can control it. And the Word of God tells us, if you can't control it, you're like a broken city with no walls. What were the walls for? Protection. Self-control is one of the biggest things emotionally that protects you. I'm going to say that one more time. Self-control is one of the biggest things in your emotional well-being that will protect you. A lot of people, they lose control of whatever they said or did, and then they spend the next year, 5 years, whatever, trying to undo whatever they did. If you lack self-control with your family, you're like a broken city. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for your emotions. You are the anger manager for yourself. How many of you had a moment where you were angry on Thanksgiving? Jeff, I hope it wasn't overcooking my turkeys.
No. It was a time.
Isn't it amazing how piddly things get us irritated? I get it. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. I tell people this all the time. Don't let other people's sin make you sin. Don't let petty things get you to sinning. Do you ever think about some of the things that we do and say, and then when you can sit back and have a little bit of time, you realize how silly it was to get mad over that? Do y'all not get mad at silly things? We do. We definitely do. Do not let the sun go down. And many, many pastors take this so out of context, but I'm going to put it right into context for all of us. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. See, we think that this controls other people. Well, we're not supposed to go to bed mad at each other. We're not supposed to. No, look here. Anybody that's been married, you know you can't control anything. But the Word instructs us, don't go to sleep while you are still angry. How many of you sleep real good when you're just raging, irritated, and mad? Does that affect y'all's sleep? It affects mine. That's right. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. What does this mean? Try to get this resolved inside of you. Inside of you. Sometimes we'd like to have a pity party, an anger party, a poor me, more than we just want to have a good night's rest and leave it behind. And unfortunately, a lot of people love being angry because we've gotten used to that and used to having a bad attitude and used to complaining. When I see people, I try very, very hard to not ask one question, and it is, how are you doing? Because what I've learned is very few people have anything good to say about their answer. And then, there you are. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. What does this mean? Don't give the devil an opportunity to walk right into your family. Hasn't the devil done enough damage in your family? Hasn't he done enough? Don't give him a foothold. The devil has a unique opportunity when he can get you angry and in the flesh. There's a good opportunity there to get you to sin or to slip up or to say something or to do something or have a moment where you just indulge what you've always wanted to say. And for some reason, it never suits us when we finally get it out. You know, I think I woke up Thursday with a lot on my mind. and the holidays get you. Something about when Thanksgiving comes, we blink and it's Christmas. And there's like an invisible stress that's there, and it's like a tension. I started thinking about the Christmas decorations. Well, I just got all the Thanksgiving ones up in the church. Now I got to take it all down and do the Christmas ones. You start thinking about the dumbest stuff. I remember when I first started pastoring, there was one year where I looked and I just had to laugh because I thought, oh my God, Lord. We had Easter wreaths, Thanksgiving something, and Christmas something. And it was that way till like June. And I was like, why didn't anybody in the church do something about this or tell me? We go so much. How many of you think that there's just a possibility that you're just too busy sometimes? You've got yourself too busy, and then you can't enjoy nothing because you've done the misery to yourself, but you're going to blame it on your family because they're just the ones that are there? And I'm not downplaying anything that your family may have done or any way that they may have irritated you. Not one bit. I imagine there's a lot of water under that bridge with you and your family, just like there is with me and mine. There's things that I've said to my family in years gone by. Brenda, I can never unsay them. Now, my flesh is like, they deserved it. But the God side of me is like, why? What am I trying to get you to do? As much as you can, cherish your family and the people that you love. Love on them. Love on them. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16 through 19. Kimber, sweetheart, do me a favor. I'm going to give you some of these. Pass those out on these two sides. Sweetie, pass these out. You know, there's things in people's families that if we could see what was going on in their family, they're dreadful. You know, there's things that go on in people's families that is just like, you're just, oh my gosh. And it makes you think. I've heard stories about people saying, oh, I haven't talked to my dad in 25 years, or oh, are there scenarios where that's appropriate? There absolutely is. But not most of the time. When you're irritable and you're angry, you're not at your best. And neither is anything else about you or anything. Thursday, I had, how many of you like turkey? I just like turkey. It's my favorite meat ever. And I like to get turkey, and I like to buy that that flavored butter, and it is herb and garlic. And I get the skin of that turkey, and I start separating it, and then I get wads of that butter, and I put it in between the turkey, and then I put it in the middle of the turkey. I put it everywhere on this turkey, and I thought, we're going to have one of those. Jeff was sweet enough to smoke two turkeys for us, and then we made a ham. Now, I am a very flamboyant personality. We did not need all that meat. So here I am, Lori, and I've got the oven open. I'm thinking about just how irritated about silly stuff that I really am. But in that moment, and we actually had our Thanksgiving here at the church because it's just easier to do that. It's gotten to that point. We've evolved. That's the easiest meeting point for all of us. Here I am bent over, and I had told Frank to do something. He comes through the back here, and he says my name, and I lean over, and when I lean over, I get my arm on that oven real good, so then I'm even more irritated. And a couple weeks ago, I had bought these Band-Aids because I really liked them. Did everybody in the place get a Band-Aid? Almost. Okay. I've ordered more. Whoever didn't get some, let me know. And I thought, get a Band-Aid on this sore of mine. And I've had this Band-Aid on since Thursday. I go home the next day. I'm walking from our little man shed that I've taken over. And I'm walking to the house, and I look down at my arm, and I see this. And it says, Jesus loves you. And right there, I stop. And thank God Frank's not around, because I like to save my craziest moments for myself. And I just start crying. Because it took me 2 days to get myself in a good mind frame. And I look down, and I see that. And I just heard that sweet, sweet voice say, Kelly, I want to heal you everywhere you hurt. Every place. There's little things in every family that rub you the wrong way. And most of the time, they do not amount to anything. But we have gotten them going and going. Angel, do you have little things in your family that just aggravate you? Who's awake in here? Michelle, how about you? Who in here doesn't? That might be the better question. Jack, I believe that about you. I totally believe that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Now, you're going to get a do-over on Christmas. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, on the inside of you. We spend so much of our prayer life. God, I'm just asking you to help Sally Sue. She's just messed up. Lord, she's just got so many problems. She's just really a jerk. God, this one over here in my family, they just, and then we go on and on and on. And most of the prayers that we're praying are for God to fix everybody else. And if we could ever get to those prayers where we say, God, just fix me. God, fix me. Does anybody in here think there's any fixing that you need done? Or your attitude and your character always just right up there? We all need help. We all do. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Problem is a lot of times this life has worn us down so much that when we do get a spare moment to do something with our family, we're not really in that moment, and we're running on empty, and our family is going to get the empty version of us. What version of you is your family getting? What version of you is your family getting? Nobody wants to answer that. Thank you, Sam. Anybody else want to cop up to anything? The broken version? The real you? Anybody else? The emotional version? The irritated version? See, I'm not worried about the people that ain't in these seats. I'm worried about the people that are in the seats. No, you're not going to go probably any other church in this town and somebody just tell you all their faults. But I'm going to. Because I know that if the pastor can have the guts to keep it real, the people in the pew have a lot better chance of doing the very same thing. Dad here, he's in my like top three favorite people on the planet. Hallelujah. How many of you were with Dad way back in the day? There's not too many folks. He called me outside 2 times this morning. I was like, my God, it is 40 degrees outside. What conversation do we need to have? Okay. I don't know if it's perimenopause or just aggravation. I don't know. See, women are very unique creatures. You can blame it. First, you can blame it on, you know, your teenage years. Oh, lots of hormones. Then you get to blame it on postpartum, which I totally believe I had that. Then you get all the other things in life. And really, sometimes it's just your booty. Women, you're going to have to figure out, are you just moody or is there actually something going on? Right? So Dad calls me out there. And you know, when I got out there, Dad, I was actually relieved that you called me out there because I realized how hot this church was. And I was like, thank God that I get to cool off because I'm literally sweating. And he was grinning ear to ear. I said, what is so funny? He goes, I started looking at the bulletin. You'd have to know him 40 years ago.
He goes, I was looking at the bulletin, Kelly, and he said, I got so excited. And I said, what were you excited about? There's no church tonight. How do you remember? Back in the day, hardcore, we are going to church. And I had to laugh. And literally in that moment, I said to myself, God, help me to evolve into that person that's just not so about all these piddly things that they really don't matter. And I'm going to tell you something. If I don't get around to the Christmas decorations, y'all are just going to have to deal with the Thanksgiving ones. Right? All of the things. And I just laughed because I thought, we have come to church in snow, sleet, hail. One time we went to church and tornadoes came down where we live. We've done it all. And I don't regret any of that. But I have got to see firsthand Pastor Angelo evolve into a way better version of himself. He goes, thank God. It only took him, I don't know how many son-in-laws. We have worn him down. And I literally thank God every day. God, thank you for the unanswered prayers because there was no way I needed a daughter. Because then I would be up worrying all the time. Ephesians chapter 3. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God wants to fill you up. He doesn't want you always on empty. Frank and I, we wrote our own vows. We're fixing to celebrate our anniversary on January 1st. And when I'm having, way to go, Frank. When I'm really needing an attitude adjustment, I'll look at my wedding video. We got married on an old abandoned boat dock with just me and Frank and Jennifer. And at one point I said, Jennifer, do you even have to be there? And I watch our video, and one of the things that I said that I have not lived up to is this right here. I said, I promise to always save the very best version of myself for you. I'm probably meanest to Frank. I said, Frank, I want you to take me. We went out on the boat. I don't know, Friday or Saturday. I said, take me to where we got married. So we get out there. And in my mind, I think he's going to say something really sweet, romantic, something. We had the dogs with us. They were awful. I was still in a mood. And he takes the boat, and we pretty well get kind of over there by it. And he doesn't say anything. He said the water was low. Now, what is it that you have these unrealistic expectations about your family members? What is it? We all got something in our head we're expecting them to do or say. And by golly, when they don't do it, they are going to suffer. And about 8 o'clock at night, I finally told him how awful it was for him not to say something romantical to me about that boat dock. This isn't a typical message for me. Usually I don't tell all my dirty laundry, I just tell half of it. But today I've divulged a lot of it to you. Why have I done that? I challenge you in your family, in your marriages, in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with your nieces, your nephews, all of the things. Probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in the past few years. I have an Aunt Kathy that I love with all of my heart. And we got cross. And for probably 2.5 years, we didn't really speak to each other. And in those 2.5 years, God worked on me. He worked on me to be better. A better aunt. All of the things. Don't learn the hard way with your family. They're the people you'll fight with and they're the people you'll fight over. But love on them. Love on them. Love on them. I know they aggravate you. I know they annoy you. I know there's probably lots of water under all the bridges in your families. There's things that, and let me just tell you this. Here's what I've learned in life, not as a pastor, but as a believer. There's conversations. There's prayers and there's tears that literally can only be between you and God. Only can be between y'all. I got one sister. I love her dearly. I really do. Not Casey, it's Shelly. A couple weeks ago, I called to talk to Melissa, and Shelly was in the background. I said, Melissa, are you mad at me? She goes, no. And I said, well, I was just calling to make it right with you if you were. And Shelly's in the background, and anybody that knows Shelly, she's always running her mouth. She said, well, Melissa, tell Kelly to call me up next and make it right with me. Shelly and I have locked horns. We have gotten in knockdown dragouts. We have done unmentionable things to each other. But at the end of the day, I can honestly say, if Shelly really needed me, I would be there. And if I really needed her, I believe that she'd be there. Love on your family. Last place for me this morning, Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14. See, See, sometimes we're expecting our family to do for us what only God can do for us. And as the years go by, if you've got something against a certain family member, you know what? It may be totally legitimate. But what I've noticed is that a lot of times over the years, that story grows and grows and grows, and it looks less and less like something that it actually was to begin with. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one that I praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one that I praise. There's things that go on in families, and they cause an inner... Maybe it's a trauma. Maybe it's a deep pain. Maybe it's a deep offense. Maybe it's just a whatever it is. I know God sure would love for you to have a wonderful Christmas with less aggravation. Here's what I ask you today. Do you have something in your family, inside of your heart? See, we're not going to talk about anybody else's heart. But do you have something inside of you that bothers you? And you say, Lord, I would just like to not feel that way anymore. I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, you're going to have to move past the wrong that was done, the offense that was done, the hurt that was done. The way that you look at them, the way that you feel about them. And for everybody that's standing, that doesn't mean that you come from a bad family. That just means that you have family. Some of the biggest grudges that we have are against our family. And here's what I can tell you about that. A lot of them don't even know you got those feelings about them. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person that's standing. God, you're the only one that can wash away every ounce of everything that we feel. God, I ask you right now to put a resolve in it. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to put peace where there once to be dissension. Lord, I thank you that the peace of God, it passes all the things that we don't understand. And God, I ask that you would give us grace. Lord, let grace come into our life, and God, let it pour over into the relationships in our families that challenge us. And God, we're not standing because we want you to change the family. God, we're standing because we want you to change us. God, change us where we're wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys, we love you. There will not be church this evening. We will resume regular services next